Well, good afternoon to you, and thanks for joining us here. This is the Meeting House on Faith Radio, and we might call it Tactical Thursday. Matthew Burford, who is the founder and director of Tactical Faith, is joining us today in studio as we look forward to another great presentation by Tactical Faith, this time with Dr. Gary Habermas. He is the Distinguished Research Professor and Chair of the Department of Philosophy and Theology at Liberty Baptist Theological Seminary, Lynchburg, Virginia, Liberty Mountain. Dr. Habermas, let me welcome you to the Meeting House here this afternoon on Faith Radio.
Thank you, folks. I'm looking forward to spending a little bit of time with you.
And Matt, it's great to always have you across the counter from me here in studio, because I know when you're in studio, that means there is a very inspiring and an informative event coming up. And this one promises to be no exception, the resurrection investigation. I think this is a great time to be having this interview as we lead up to Good Friday and Easter Sunday, as we think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I tell you what, Holy Week, I know personally, is a time of reflection for me as we think about what Christ has done for us. And it's a great opportunity for us as believers during this Holy Week to really consider the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in that spirit, the series of meetings with Dr. Habermas coming up April 21st and 22nd at First Baptist Church of Montgomery. Matt, welcome aboard.
Well, thank you for asking me to be here again. It's our pleasure to be back on the radio, and we just love Faith Radio and love partnershiping with y'all.
Well, tell us just a bit about the, I guess you might say, the concept of this series of meetings. Dr. Habermas, along with Dave Glander of Truth Ministries, will be on board on the 21st and 22nd. What is it that you're sensing that God would want to do in this series of meetings?
Well, I think that's a really good question. Easter is our holiday. That's yeah, the Christian holiday. And you hit the nail on the head. When we were thinking about doing an event like this, we're specifically an apologetic ministry, and we want to equip believers to be able to go out into the public and talk about the hope that's within, and that hope is grounded in the cross. That hope is grounded in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when we were looking and vetting and saying, who could we bring that would be able to talk about it in an approachable way, in an equipping way? And the first thing one of our board members, guys, said was, do you remember going to Atlanta and hearing Dr. Gary Habermas talk about the resurrection of Jesus and the minimal facts theory? And then everybody agreed, that's who we need to bring. And when we talk to Dr. Habermas, you get a sense that he really has a heart for ministry. You automatically know that he knows what he's talking about, and he's very approachable. He's a lot like Greg Kunkel, who we have brought many times, or Brett Kunkel, who we've brought from Stand to Reason. We're bringing guys into the community that can not only know their stuff and a master of their craft, but somebody that can approach us, you know, the regular Joe, the regular Christian that are doing God's work in their community, and help us all, equip us to give the hope that's within us.
Well, Matt Burford of Tactical Faith joining us in studio, and we have by telephone today from Liberty University, Dr. Gary Habermas, a professor there. And Dr. Habermas, let's give our listeners just a bit of insight into your background. How is it that you really began to take an interest in, as we might say, some of these historical aspects of the resurrection of Christ?
Well, I was raised in a Christian home, but after that time, in my teen years, I started going through a significant amount of questioning of my faith, very serious questioning. It lasted for more than 10 years, and intermittently for a few more years after that. And it kind of ended. Questions don't end, but this period of time, I usually date the ending of it with the writing of my doctoral dissertation in 1976, long time ago. But I did my dissertation at Michigan State University on the resurrection of Jesus, and it kind of was the culmination of my doubts, because when I was starting to wonder whether Christianity was true and whether I could follow, and I checked out cults and religions and you know, no religion at all and everything. I had people suggest all kinds of things to me. Check this out, check that out. Here's a special evidence, here's a special evidence. And I just came to the conclusion almost nothing anybody told me about bore up under the evidence when you checked it. But very early on, I realized that if the resurrection was what Christians said it was, if it could bear the weight of questions, it could indeed bear the weight of the entire Christian belief system. In other words, the whole system could be grounded on the resurrection, and it just looked from a cursory view that it could do so. So that got me into the resurrection, and that study went on for years and years and years. And during this time of doubt, I wrote out something like 1,300 or 1,500 note cards. That tells you how long ago it was. We used note cards. And I put that all together, and it became part of the dissertation, and it was published. And from there, I've gone on and written a number of other books on the resurrection, and it's just become the center of my activity. I mean, there's so many people that go after it. They realize it's the center of the Christian faith, and so you kind of never run out of chances and opportunities and the need, really, to give reasons.
Well, you are listening to Meeting House here on Faith Radio. Dr. Gary Habermas from Liberty Baptist Theological Seminary, Matt Burford of Tactical Faith. And Dr. Habermas, if you had to just summarize some of the most compelling evidence for the resurrection, what would you say?
Well, to me, the key is in the method. The key is in how you approach it. Of course, I mean, more important than the evidence, more important than the method is the evidence itself. But for me, what was the real key was to come up with a method that could present the evidence to friend and foe alike. So what I did was develop a method, which I have called the minimal facts method, and I'm pleased that it has been, I mean, it's been employed now by a number of people who argue for the resurrection because it seems to cut through a lot of the outline questions on this subject. Basically, what the minimal facts method says is we can use the data, we can use the historical facts which are shared by the entire scholarly community. I don't mean, the guy necessarily sitting across from me at the lunch table or someone from some really skeptical website who hasn't taken the time to study it. But I mean, I don't care how liberal the person is, if they are a scholar and they've studied the material, we pretty much agree with the body of facts. I number about 12 of those, and then I take just a half dozen of them from that list of 12 that kind of surround the last weekend of Jesus' life and afterwards. And my point is that if I use the facts that everyone allows, somebody on the right who believes the Bible is the Word of God, somebody in the middle who says it's not the Word of God, but it's a good historical source, and somebody in the left who says it's neither inspired nor a good historical source, but we all kind of come together around these facts and we say, yeah, those are the things we can talk about. And my point is to take that data and to say, you know, we have more than this, but even if we were to use just this, we have enough material to argue well that Jesus was raised from the dead.
Mm. Give me some examples of some of those minimal facts.
Yeah, on the shorter list, which it kind of arbitrarily, because nobody only gives you those facts, my uses of it go from anywhere from like 4 to 6 of these. But I would report things like this. Jesus died due to the rigors of crucifixion. After his crucifixion, his disciples reported that they had experiences, and I'm wording this very carefully so that everybody will agree to this, but this sentence, which sounds so positive, is agreed to by everybody, and that is that the disciples had experiences which they believed were appearances of the risen Jesus. So they had these experiences, and they said, Jesus is risen, we just saw him. That's how they interpreted their experience. They turned the world upside down with these beliefs, specifically with these beliefs. And a couple of skeptics, Saul of Tarsus and James, the brother of Jesus, who previously were unbelievers, Paul for sure, and James as far as we can tell, they both became believers because they had experiences which they attested were experiences of the risen Jesus. And then this was all proclaimed very, very early in the church. In fact, one of my big points in doing this popular lecture that Matt was referring to is that we can trace that report all the way back to about 30 AD, right about the exact time that Jesus died. So it's a report that is passed on to us by the earliest eyewitnesses, and we can start right there, and then you have to say, well, if you don't believe it's a resurrection, what do you think it is? And we try to find out whose hypothesis works out the best against the data we have. Now, that sounds very technical, but when I do the lecture in the church, I've done a variety of this lecture, believe it or not, 2,000 times, and nobody ever says to me, wow, I wish I could have understood what you were doing. It's not like that. It's very straightforward. Sure, it's like listening to a history lecture in the sense that there's a lot of facts, but it's not technical philosophy. Anybody can sit there and understand what's going on. So as Matt said, I try to do this so that it's usable by everybody. Matter of fact, I was in Phoenix about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I did this lecture for 6th to 12th graders. So it worked. I hope it really helps people unpack things.
Dr. Gary Habermas from Liberty University joining us today here on the Meeting House. Matt Burford from Tactical Faith, and we are previewing the Resurrection Investigation. It's a two-day series of meetings coming to First Baptist Church, Montgomery, April 21st and 22nd. And I really wanted to get you to summarize some of the subjects that you're going to be covering. You mentioned the minimal facts approach, the minimal facts argument with respect to the resurrection. You had related to us earlier, Dr. Habermas, that you had gone through a period of doubt in your own life after becoming a Christian at an early age. That may be the position that a number of our listeners may find themselves in this very day. How do you really address that whole topic of doubt?
Well, that's another thing where when I got into it, like so many times when we study a subject, we find out that things are really different than we kind of think it is. And because I went through doubt a certain way, we often assume that what I go through is the same thing that you go through. And for me, it was, give me the evidences, pack them in, give me more, let me get this case together. But then I started teaching after I got that PhD and did my dissertation of the resurrection, like I said. Well, then I started teaching, and I realized that people who go through doubts, well, I just listened to their stories, and I listened to literally hundreds of doubting accounts, and I realized that the majority of people who go through these things, yes, they're looking for evidences, yes, they're looking for a few basic answers, but really the majority of folks who go through doubts are going through them for emotional reasons, not for factual reasons. They're happy for the facts. They state the doubts as if they're facts. But really what's on their mind is things like, does God care about me? Why didn't he answer my prayer? How come he let my dad die? How come, .. You know, whatever goes in there. And so on the one hand, yes, you are given reasons, kind of classic apologetics. But on the other hand, folks need more than the facts. They need you to kind of touch with them in the real world, to kind of come alongside them in their life and say, what do you do about my hurting? I mean, this is painful. And the minute the person tells you it's very painful, that alone, you know something is probably going on a lot more than just the facts, because facts don't hurt.
Well, Matt, Dr. Habermas will be in Montgomery at First Baptist Church April 21st and 22nd. Matt Burford from Tactical Faith. We've been covering some of the subject matter, just giving a summary of some of these different topic areas. It starts on April 21st, 9 a.m. Okay, Dr. Habermas, got to ask you this, because this sounds kind of like something right out of Oprah.
It does.
Near-death experiences. So what's your take there?
Well, you want me to let it all out?
Just a tease here.
Just a taste, okay.
Yeah.
Now this is getting even less technical than the popular treatment we're going to give of the resurrection. But with near-death experiences, I think we are dealing with a phenomena that's very, very common, very well known, brings a lot of people great hope. And I went after that subject, starting back in the 70s, second only to the resurrection, is my study of near-death experiences. And I realize that there's quite a bit of evidence for near-death experiences. I'm certainly not alone in this. There are a number of researchers, but I'm not interested so much in the kind of popular reports, flying down a tunnel, seeing a light, having great peace, chatting with deceased relatives. Those are interesting stories.
Yeah, but embraced by the light sort of stuff.
Yeah. There's some of that, and of course it's used by people in every religion, cult, belief system, including Christianity. In fact, there may be a few of them in the Bible. Certainly seems to be, but there are some evidential reasons, some evidential cases, extremely strong arguments actually, that indicate that these people have really experienced at least minutes of consciousness beyond the near death of their bodies, hence the name near death experiences. And I think it's a pointer to the greater topic of which the resurrection is a part. Hmm. That's why these all go together.
Yeah.
And that's the topic of the afterlife.
Hmm. Well, Matt, let's take our listeners through the agenda, if you will, for this upcoming series of meetings. April 21st, 9 o'clock, it starts with near-death experiences, 10:15, minimal facts argument, 11:30, Christian doubt. Then from 12:30 until 2 o'clock, there is a biblical museum tour. That's right. There will be a portion of First Baptist Church Montgomery that will be converted into a biblical museum by none other than Dave Glander of Truth Ministries. Give us an idea about what people can expect here.
Sure. It's going to be, well, first and foremost, it's open to the public. It's free. Dave has been kind enough to drive over from Marietta, Georgia. He has a host of artifacts that include Bibles I believe he told me, some armor from a Roman Empire armor that he's going to show. Plus, he's bringing one of the only five replicas of the Shroud of Turin that are going to be on display Sunday night. But for Saturday's museum tour, you're just going to be able to walk in and look at the artifacts, ask Dave questions about it. And it's just good to have tangible things that we see through Scripture. A lot of us don't get the opportunity to go to Jerusalem or see some of the things that come through, like the Dead Sea Scrolls did a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. But to be able to go and touch things that are ancient really gives you a connection to your faith and to the Christian world.
And then on Sunday, in the morning services at First Baptist, the evidences of the resurrection of Jesus, that's at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Then Sunday evening, the 22nd Q&A with Jay Wolf and Dr. Habermas. And then he'll be preaching Sunday night, April 22nd. The Shroud of Turin is the title of that message. Dr. Habermas, tell me about your approach to the Shroud.
Well, I try to stay pretty much, you know, here it is, here's some facts, evaluate this for yourself. People tell me, well, I mean, a lot of times they come up to me and they don't even get a sense of where I am in the lecture, and they'll say, well, what do you think? What's your gut level on this? And I'll say, well, you know, it depends on what day you're asking. Sometimes I think the evidence is really, really good, and I think to myself, wow, we're looking at it right here, and other days I think, I don't know. I mean, it's an artifact. It makes a lot of sense. It could very well date from Jesus. There are some tough questions to be answered. Nothing, I mean, God hasn't told us that this thing's got to be. Nothing in Christianity stands or falls in the Shroud. And yet, along with near-death experiences, it's interesting we're doing both topics. Of all the topics over the years that people have said to me, check this out, check that out, you know, we found this, we found that, here's Secret Josephus, here's the Acts of Pilate, where Pilate told us what happened that weekend, you know, here's an archaeological artifact. Of everything that people have turned over to me and said, look for this, look for that, the Shroud and near-death experiences are the two best cases I've seen where there really are some good reasons to think something's going on here. So it's neat we're covering both in the same weekend.
Dr. Gary Habermas from Liberty University joining us today. Matt Burford from Tactical Faith. And as we conclude, final The final session is at 6:15 on Sunday night, April 22nd, this two-day conference, the Resurrection Investigation. Matt, fortunately, it's scheduled that, for instance, on Saturday, the 21st from 9 until 2, and then Sunday morning services, the Q&A that evening, 6:15. So you have really, as we might say, bite-sized pieces. You can take the whole thing in, or you can take different seminars. In fact, the whole schedule is accessible through tacticalfaith.com and then the /and shroud. I'm sure that obviously you'd like people to come for the whole thing, but if they can come from part, they can benefit from that.
Yeah, we want to be sensitive to the community, and we know people have things going on in their life. So one of the challenges for us is when we bring somebody like Dr. Habermas, how do we bring somebody like that in and get the maximum amount from him for the community? And as well, we also know that people have things going on. So if you can come Saturday, we invite you to come Saturday. If you can't come Sunday morning because you have church obligations, come Sunday night. If you can't make Sunday, make Saturday. The thing that we just ask is for you to remember that it's free, it's open to you. The people at First Baptist and Jay Wolf have been very supportive of us and of our organization. And we just, you know, if somebody of this caliber comes to our area, we want the people of the River Region to know that you can have access to it. And I think it's going to be a really, really informative, great event.
Well, and I know so many Christians want to be better equipped to be able to defend their faith. I think people can come out of this weekend with tools that they need to confidently enter into conversations about these very important matters.
I totally agree. And if last weekend when they had the Reason Rally where atheists came into Washington, D.C., and they have every right to talk about their worldview, but we have every right to talk about, like I said in First Peter, the hope that is within us. Because, guys, I want everybody out there that's listening to know we're winning the war in terms of truth, because we have the truth in Jesus Christ. And in it, you know, a lot of our faith is an emotional kind of relationship, but there's also another aspect where we're called to give a reason for the hope that's within and to be an ambassador for Christ and our Father God. And how best to do that than to sit under somebody like Dr. Gary Habermas in April.
And I sense, Matt and Dr. Habermas, the end game here is not necessarily to talk about the historical aspects, for instance, of the Shroud of Turin or the validity of near-death experiences. Those are, as you might say, the way I look at it, kind of means to an end. In other words, your ending point is to have a greater appreciation of the resurrection and also to be able to go from that place and to talk about the resurrection and to be equipped to be able to do so. Is that kind of in the ballpark?
Yes, I think there's two sides to this, and you said it well. When Paul talks in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he starts the chapter out by saying, when I came and preached to you folks, I preached to you the gospel, and what you did with what I gave you determines where you are vis-a-vis Jesus. I mean, he says, whether you responded properly to my message determines whether or not you are a believer. And so there really is who Jesus is and what did he do for us side of things. We call that history. And there is the present response. What is our job? I often liken it to the marriage situation, and that there's a time of getting to know and dating, and we would think somebody's pretty silly if they made their decisions in 24 hours after meeting somebody. You have to study and get to know. And then when you say I do to a person, you don't say I do to beauty, brains, nice personality. You say I do to a person who has those characteristics. I think Christianity is similar in a lot of regards. You study the history, and then you don't say I do to the history. You say I do to the person who walked and talked in history. And Paul says that's the connection. Do we have that historical basis, but then do you have the personal commitment? And it is exactly as you've said, it's in that combination that the truth of Christianity rests, and the truth of Christians and where they are present rests.
Well, some great food for thought, and Dr. Gary Habermas will be in Montgomery Saturday, April 21st, and the following day, Sunday, April the 22nd. Plenty of material. Matt, people can go to the Tactical Faith website. Give us that address and tell folks what they can find when they visit there.
Yeah, well, you can just go to www.tacticalfaith.com. You can look at our events. Dr. Gary Habermas's name is there. Click on it. The schedule of events is there. We also ask if it's free, but it helps us a lot if you register so we know what rooms to go into and how to set up the rooms. You know, that's not required, but we just ask if you would. You can also find a bio of Dr. Habermas and also his works, and the books that he's published are there as well. And you can even find an email if you need to email me anything, and then I will get back to you as soon as I can and try to help you out.
Matt Burford of Tactical Faith, Dr. Gary Habermas of Liberty Baptist Theological Seminary, joining us today here on the Meeting House on Faith Radio, again, April 21st and 22nd at First Baptist Church, Montgomery.